God's good all the time. Amen. Even in the bad times, He's good. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. And I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, go to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to go to 1 Samuel 30 in a few minutes. But we're going to go to Acts 1 Samuel chapter 16, Acts chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And here's a familiar passage to you. And here's God calling the man David out. God had one man in the Bible. He said he was a man after his own heart. David, more is written about the man David than anybody in the Bible outside the Lord Jesus Christ and the Antichrist. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the first book of the New Testament, when it opens up the life of Jesus Christ, it says this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. It says when Jesus comes back, He'll sit on the throne of David. God had a lot of faith and emphasis in David. In 1 Samuel 16, 1, it said, now the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Remember, they wanted a king like Saul. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil, and go therefore to ascend thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me, notice, I provided me a king among his sons. So all of Israel, God picked out his man. Verse 7, when the boys walked up there, his brothers, in verse 7 it says this, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And when he looked on the heart of this young man, David, he chose him to be king. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 says this about David. In Acts chapter 13, given the history of Israel over there, in Acts chapter 13, verse 21 says this, Acts 13, 21, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, God removed him. He raised up them David to be their king, to whom he also gave the testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God never said that about any other man in the Bible outside of the man David. David was the deliverer and the hero that killed Goliath as a young man. David was a sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the one that wrote half the book of Psalms. David is called, Jesus Christ is called the son of David. And David was God's man, a man after God's own heart. And God specifically picked him out of all the people in Israel. He said, I provided me a king. They picked out their king Saul. And God said, I've got my king now. And turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And David is God's man. I preached a series of messages years ago on David, several weeks, just about the man David. And David was God's man, and David is about to experience something he'll never forget. David is about to enter what we'd call, in our language, the twilight zone. And the man David is about to take a trip through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into the twilight zone. David is about to take a trip down a lonely, lonely road called Ziglag. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I preached about Ziglag years ago. I preached April the 12th, 2015. I preached a message. You ever been to Ziglag? But I want to preach a little bit different this morning on a call. I call it Ziglag, the rest of the story. The rest of the story. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here's David. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziglag on the third day, that the Amalekites invaded the south in Ziglag and burned it with fire. That's where David was. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their whole houses, everything is burnt. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. I mean, that's a pretty bad deal to come home that day, Brother Robert, and your whole house is burnt down, everything's burnt down, your wife's gone, your kids are gone, and the Amalekites had got them. And verse 4 said, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved in every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now there's a lot of stuff in here, and I'm just going to give you some things about this. I want you to notice, first of all, there's the raid and the ruin of David. I mean, David's world had just hit rock bottom. I mean, you come home from work, you come home from fighting the battle, and you come home there and your house is burnt down, the whole city's burnt down, your wives, your kids have been taken captive, and these folks that took them were the Amalekites. And these guys would make the ISIS terrorists that we faced look like the Little League team. They were not sitting around eating Krispy Kreme donuts. They were not sitting around singing Kumbaya. Amalek was the first enemy Israel encounters after exiting Egypt over there. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, it said, "And the congregation of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys." And it goes down verse 8 and it said, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Amalek was the first enemy. And look at Exodus chapter 17, says this about Amalek. It says this, that God has declared war with Amalek from generation to generation. These were bad folks that had taken his wife's. David's world had hit rock bottom. There's the raid and the ruin of David. If you remember over there in Saul was removed from the kingdom, because in 1 Samuel 15, God told Saul, he said, "Well, I want you to go in there and utterly destroy Amalek, the Amalekites and Amalek." And Saul came back with the sheep and the best of the sheep. Y'all remember that? And God said, "Because you disobeyed me and you didn't destroy Amalek," he said, "I'm going to take the kingdom from you." They were a bad deal. These were some bad cats over there at Amalek. The Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Esau is the same folks that's over there from the Koran, and Islam. That's the same folks. Esau, that's the terrorist over there. That's the ones over there that are doing all the damage. The word Amalek means this. It means literally a people that licks up blood. That's what the name means. The name Amalek, it means there's a people that licks up blood. And their name also means a warrior of the valley or a terrorist or an ambushes. David lost everything that day. He lost his city. He lost his houses. He lost his wives. He lost his children. And had gone to Amalek. And David's world had hit rock bottom in Ziklag. Job chapter 3, verse 25, he said one time, he said, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me." David could say, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." And David had hit rock bottom, and it couldn't possibly get any worse for David in Ziklag. But it was about to get worse. There was the raid and ruination of David. But then there's something else about David I want you to notice there. There's the reproach and the rejection of David. It wasn't bad enough that Amalekites had come in and they've taken all the wives and it's burned their city down and taken their kids and taken their daughters, and the people wept when they couldn't wept anymore. But then they blamed David for the whole thing. You're talking about having a bad day. David was having a bad day. The Bible said that David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. I mean, there was a soldier. They were his faithful 600. There was the one that fought with him all that time. And things had gotten so bad, they'd taken away their kids and burnt their houses down. And they said, "Hey, let's stone him." There's a reproach and rejection of David. David had never experienced anything like this in his life. David was the golden child. David was the one as a little boy, when he was 13 years old or so, that took a slingshot, Brother Robert, and walked to Goliath, the giant of Goliath of Gath, and with a stone, killed him. He was the one that they sang in Israel. The people were singing, "Saul hath killed his thousands, but David hath killed his 10,000s. He was a sweet psalmist that wrote half the book of Psalms. He was God's golden child, and his world had fallen apart. David had never experienced anything like this. Man, David's life had been on skates up to this. But there was a reproach and rejection of David. Remember, David was God's anointed to be the king of Israel. He was a man that was after his own heart, God's own heart. And the Bible said, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him." There was a hero. There was David. And David's anointed world, brother, had fallen apart big time. Right now, David was a lonely, lowly, lost man sitting in Ziklag. And David was greatly distressed. There was the reproach and rejection of David. There was the raid and the run of David. There's something else I want you to notice there. There's the reaction and response of David. I want you to notice what David did. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8 says this. Or verse 6. 1 Samuel 36 says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters." But look what it said David did. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David's reaction and response to everything going on, David didn't jump out and say, "Hey guys, woo, wait, remember me. I'm the king. I'm the one God anointed. Hey, don't get mad at me." David didn't jump out and say, "Hey, don't y'all remember me? I'm the guy that killed Goliath." He didn't jump out and say, "Hey, don't y'all remember me? The one they were singing about, Saul that killed their thousands and David their 10,000. Hey, I'm God's golden child. What's the deal?" He didn't jump out and do that. He didn't even try to encourage them, did he? Bible didn't say he tried to encourage Israel. It didn't say he tried to encourage the people. It didn't say he tried to do anything. You know what it said? It said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There's a reaction and response of David. It said David encouraged himself. You know, when I read this story here, and I think there's David, and put yourself in his place. I mean, this is a bad deal. I mean, your wife's been taken away, your kids have been taken away, your house is burnt down. Some people, her name means they lick blood that God's declared in their enemy from generation to generation. And all that's going on here. And the Bible said, and David encouraged himself. Encouraged is not the word I'd be thinking of right now, Brother Robert. Brother Ben, discouragement might be better. But it said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He didn't encourage himself in the world. And it didn't say that God encouraged him, did it? It said David encouraged himself. You know where it always starts with? It starts with me. You're not going to encourage anybody else, by the way, to your encourage. You're not going to tell anybody how to be saved like Brother Chris preached the other night. If you're saved, bless God, you ought to be able to tell somebody how to be saved. If you're not saved, if you're saved, bless God, you ought to tell somebody what happened to you. Isn't that right? Bless God, listen, if you're not encouraged, you're not going to encourage anybody else. It always starts with you. But it said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David took the initiative. The Bible said in the book of James chapter 4, it said, "Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you." You have to start the first step. And it said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David took the responsibility. It started with David. There's the reaction and response of David. There's the raid and the run of David. There's the rejection and reproach of David. And now I want to give you the rest of the story. I want to get to my message now a little bit. I want to give you the rest of the story of Ziklag. And I want to give you the recourse and resurgence of David. And the Bible said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If you remember what we read in 1 Samuel 16, that God said He provided me a king among His sons. He picked David out. And it said in Acts chapter 12 that he found a man after his own heart. David was God's special man. David was who God put His faith in and made him king over Israel. Take your Bible, look over to 1 Samuel chapter 27. Get 1 Samuel 27. I want you to show something about David. Remember, David was a king God had anointed for Israel. He was a special one. He was God's chosen man. The golden child was David. Not Saul. He had removed the kingdom from Saul and was going to give it to David. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 27. Here's the rest of the story about Ziklag. Here's what really happened, see. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, it says this. You know, Saul is chasing David. And he's been chasing, trying to kill him because he's jealous of David. He knows God's going to take the kingdom from him and give it to David. So he's trying to kill David. And 1 Samuel 27 verse 1 says this. And David said in his heart. heart, notice that, said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul, but there is nothing better for me that I should escape speedily, that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me anymore. David, you know what he did? You know what David did? David goes to the land of the Philistines. You know who the Philistines are? They're the enemies of Israel. Look at verse number 2. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. May I remind you that Goliath was from Gath. That's where Goliath, who was the enemy of Israel that David killed, he had Goliath. You know what David had done? David had crossed over this month. David had crossed over and he went over to the Philistines and joined forces with him. And he went and settled, Miss Rachel, in the land of Gath. David was not only running from Saul, he was running from the Lord. Not only that, it gets worse. It gets worse. Look at 1 Samuel chapter. Look at verse 6 here. Look at verse 1 Samuel 23, where we're at. And David dwelt. Verse 3, and David dwelt with Achish and Gath, he and his men, every man in his household, even David with his two wives. And verse 6 says this. Then Achish gave him... Well. Boy, we got a problem here, don't we? Then Achish, the king of Gath, the enemy of God, gave him Ziklag that day. David, you're in the wrong place, buddy. You ought to be over in Israel. You have done crossed over, and now he's joined forces with the Philistines and the king of Gath, and he's settled in the land Ziklag that Gath gave him. It gets worse. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 29. May I remind you, this is God's anointed man. This is the man that God said, I provided me a king among the sons of Jesse. Go look at 1 Samuel chapter 29. David is not only over there. David is not only... 1 Samuel chapter 29. Well, let's see. It don't look right. Hold on a second. 1 Samuel chapter 29 verse 1. I got 11 in there. 1 Samuel chapter 29 verse 1. David's over there in 1 Samuel chapter 27. Remember, he goes and joins forces with the Philistines. He goes there and joins forces with Gath. Philistines are the enemy of the Israels. David is the king of Israel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 29 verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is at Jezreel, and the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. You know what David's doing now in 1 Samuel chapter 29? He's over there with the Philistines behind Achish, and he's ready to go fight Israel, who is supposed to be king. God's people gave David and got so far away from God, he had joined forces with the Philistines, and now he's prepared to go to battle and fight Israel and kill them. Look at verse number 5. David, verse 4, we'll pick it up verse 4, and the prince of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the prince of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, talking about David, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary on us. I mean, the people, the Philistines, had more sense than David. For wherewith should he be reconciled himself to his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, verse 5, of whom they sang one to another and danced and sang, Saul slew his thousands and David his ten thousands? Hey, they had more sense than David. They were saying, don't let this guy go to battle and fight with us. He's going to turn coat on us. This is the guy that they said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his ten thousands. In verse 6. And Achish called David and said, surely as the Lord liveth, I have been upright. And I going out and thy coming in with me and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me in this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the Lord of the field. Watch this, watch David. David still wants to go fight. He wants to go fight Israel. You say, who in the world is that, preacher? That's God's anointed king of Israel. Look at verse 8. And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what have I found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may now go fight against the enemies, my lord the king? David said, hey, let me go fight with you. Let me go fight against Israel. Well, I can imagine up in heaven about this time, Michael and Gabriel had to look down and over the Lord, and God said, hey, what in the Sam Hill is going on with David? David, the guy you anointed to be king, is now lined up with the Philistines in Gath, and he wants to go fight and kill his own people. Needless to say, God had some work to do for David about this time. David had gotten so far away from God, he was ready to go kill his own people. You say, who was that? The man that God anointed king to be Israel. David was in a mess. God had some work to do. David was running from Saul. But not only that, David was running from the Lord. God had a big problem with David. He had to do something to get David back to where he is. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass, remember, Achish gave him Ziklag. God wasn't interested in Ziklag. He burned it. 1 Samuel 30, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive, they were therein. They slew not any either great or small, but carried them away and went their own way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it burned it with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters and taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, and they could no more power. Brother, it's bad. Bad. And David and David's two wives were taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, and the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Look at the next verse. And David inquired at verse 7, and David said, Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? You know what? David had not inquired of the Lord since 1 Samuel 23. David had not inquired or sought God's will or looked toward God for over 10 years. 10 years he'd been running from Saul. One time he got so bad he went and feigned himself mad. Remember that? David had gotten so far away from God, he is running from Saul, and for 10 years. You don't read where David ever sought God's will until right there. You know what Ziklag was? It was David's Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, or them who are called according to His purpose. You know what Ziklag was? It was God getting David ready for the throne. David had gotten so far away, he had gotten away where he didn't have anything to do with God. He got away from God for 10 years and never sought God. But brother, when Ziklag hit Miss Annie Mae, he told Abiathar, he said, go get the ephod. I got to get hold of God. I'm in a mess. And God's up in heaven saying, see there, Gabriel, Michael, I'm getting him ready for the kingdom. I love the Old Testament. I'm an Old Testament guy. Because you get to see God working. Right here, people pick up 1 Samuel 30 and just read about Ziklag. They don't realize what God's doing here. God's getting David ready for the kingdom. Because David had gotten so far away from God, man, he is lining up to fight the Philistines and kill the Jews and kill Israel. That's how far away he got from God. He hadn't spent time with God in 10 years. Yeah, who was that? That was God's man. That was the man that God personally anointed to be king. That was the man that wrote half the book of Psalms. That's the man that it says Jesus Christ would sit on his throne one day. And he'd gotten so far away from God. In all that time he's running from Saul. All that crazy stuff he's doing. Now one time do you read in there, since 1 Samuel 23 in 10 years, did he ever sought the Lord. But brother, when Ziklag came in, you know what David did? He said, Abiathar, go get that ephod. I got to get hold of God. And it said David inquired at the Lord. You know what the word Ziklag means? It means pressed. That's what it means. It means press. You know what God did to David that day? God reached down to David and he pressed everything David had. David didn't have his family. He didn't have his soldiers. He didn't have Israel. He had nothing left. God reached down there and pressed everything he had left at Ziklag, and David had no place to go but to God. David wrote that song right there. Where could I go but to the Lord? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Needing a friend to help me in the end. He didn't have a friend nowhere. Where could I go but to the Lord? You know what God was doing, old David? He is getting David ready for the kingdom. You know what happens in 1 Samuel 31? Flip over to the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31, God had just pressed everything out of David. David had nothing left. There was the golden child. There was a guy that God anointed, and God reached down there and pressed everything he had, and there was nothing left but God. And finally, after 10 years, David said, hey, go get that ephod. I got to get hold of God. You say, why? Because of a little trip to Ziklag. Not only that, look at 1 Samuel chapter 31. It said, now the Philistines fought against Israel. David would have been there. David would have been right here if it was not for Ziklag. The next chapter. Ziklag kept him out of the battle. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. Verse 2, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul, upon his sons, and Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, Meshua, Saul's sons, and the battle sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. And verse 6 says, so Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer. Right after Ziklag, God got David right, and the next thing you know, Saul is killed. Right in the next chapter of the battle that David would have been going to if it had not been for Ziklag. And God pulled him out of that battle, and Saul was killed at that battle. And you know what God had been doing? He was getting David ready to step into the kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 1. You know what goes on? They're mourning Saul. 2 Samuel chapter 1, they're all mourning Saul. You know what happens in 2 Samuel chapter 2? 2 Samuel chapter 2, they make David king of Judah. God was getting David ready at Ziklag to step onto the kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 5, you know what happens? David goes to war and revenges Saul against the Philistines. He said this in 2 Samuel 5:17. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote the Philistines there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before them. You say, what was that? That was all because of Ziklag. You know what Ziklag was? It was God getting David, getting everything he had out of him, everything he could, pressed him down. That's what Ziklag means. He pressed, got everything he got. And old David hadn't sought God for 10 years. All he's going through, Saul chasing him, all that going through.
And David was running from the Lord. And God sent him down there to the Ziklag and said, David said, go get the ephod. And the Bible said, and David inquired of the Lord. You know what God will do sometimes, my friend, to get your attention, to get you back? He'll send you to Ziklag.
You know what he sent Peter one day? There was big Peter, Lord, I'll never deny thee nor forsake thee. Remember that? And that day, the Bible said, that night he followed Jesus afar off, and he sat down there, and the damsel came to him, a little girl, maid, and said, you were with him. He said, I know not the man. He began to curse and swear. Ziklag, Ziklag. There's John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. Go ask Jesus, is he the right one, or do we look for another? There's Elijah sitting under a juniper tree asking God to kill him. There's Jonah running from God in the belly of a whale. You say, what are you saying? I want to tell you, sometimes in life God will send a Ziklag in your life
to get back where you've been. See, God had a purpose for Ziklag for David. That's the first reading. You don't see what's going on. But God was getting David ready for that kingdom, because the very next chapter, I mean just within a few days after Ziklag was burnt and David inquired of the Lord, Saul was killed, and he had David ready to step in that kingdom. You know what God will do sometimes in our lives? He'll send us a Ziklag. You know what a Ziklag was? It was David's Romans 8:28. And we know, it says, we don't doubt, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them that are called according to His purpose. David was called according to his purpose. And God used a little town called Ziklag to get David right. Let's take our hymn books this morning. I want you to turn to page 78 in the red hymn book. 78. I love this song. Brother Chris picked this out. I'd never heard of it before. Page 78. And it's so true. It's so true. We sung that song, There's a Fountain Filled with Blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The man that wrote that, William Cowper, right before he wrote that song, he tried to commit suicide 5 times. His life was in despair. He died in a mental institute. William Cowper, that wrote that song. There's a book written, John Piper wrote, called Broken Pieces, and it shows how God uses broken pieces. You know what God will do a lot of times? He'll break them to get that. William Cowper, right before he wrote that song, 5 minutes before it, he tried to take his life. Ran out the door, screaming, and God gave him that song. Look at page 78 in the red book. You know what God will do sometimes? This verse says, Jesus took my heart all to pieces, and He put a little sunshine in. We've seen it put a lot of sunshine in. You know what sometimes God will do? He'll bring a Ziklag. You say, why? So He can put a lot of sunshine in.